Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios. Your host, yours truly, Link Flores, and just wonderful people like yourselves who are listening. You're the reason why I do this, so thank you. And speaking of people who are wonderful and thanking them, thank you to all of our wonderful Patreon supporters for everything that you've done. I love you and I appreciate you. You guys are amazing. All the questions that you brought in went into the free episodes and the paid episodes for December and January. So thank you very much. Everybody else who's curious about it can go to Wandering One Studios Patreon, which is patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. While you're there, you can listen to the free episodes that are available so you can get a taste of what you could be looking at if you decide you want to support the stream and support the podcast, I mean. So there's a 7-day free trial available as well, so you can listen to the paid exclusive January episode. And if you decide, hey, I listen to all that stuff, it sounds great, I want to support, thanks a lot, that'd be awesome. For just $3 a month, you'll get 2 extra episodes of the Wandering One podcast. Those will be fueled by your questions. So if you have a question, a comment, want to ask for some advice, maybe you just want to hear my opinions on a certain topic or situation or whatever, feel free to write in. You can message me on Patreon, and that's the quickest way to get them through to me so I can make sure I see them. And your name could be in a future episode if you'd like. Also, don't forget to let me know if you want your name read. Most of the time, I'm going to assume that people don't, unless they say they're okay with it or they specifically ask for me to mention them by name. I'm just going to assume that you don't want your name read, and I will just err on the side of caution. So you don't have to worry about your name being disclosed. It'll just be between you and me. That's it. All right. So some other housekeeping stuff. Streamlabs. So streamlabs.com/linkib/merch is where I do designs for merchandise for the podcast and also for my Twitch channel. The new designs are going to be done. I'm shooting for the middle of February. Most likely it's going to be the beginning of March. But go ahead and swing on over to streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. Bookmark the page. Come back and check it out. See if you like what you see there. And if you do, great. Pick up something cool for a friend, a loved one, a coworker, for yourself. Be cool to see what you guys think. And also, if you do wear it out and you want to tag me in social media, feel free to do that as well. It's just at linkib on Instagram. So that'd be dope. While we speak into Twitch, I'm also doing a subscriber giveaway on Twitch. That's happening as this podcast releases. It's going to be the day that it comes out. So, swing on over to twitch.tv/linkib, and you might have a chance to win some cool little prizes this month. And then our big box subscriber giveaways are every 3 months throughout the year. So just kind of every quarter, I'll do a big, big subscriber giveaway. And just know that all the support that you provide financially does go right back into the stream. So it is what you make it, and you get a chance to win some cool free stuff. Well, I guess technically it's kind of paid for. I don't know. The logistics of it are way beyond me. I'm not that smart, but let's talk about things that I do know. I do know nerdy stuff. I'm pretty good at it in a lot of ways. So let's pick out the first thing, gaming stuff. Since we just mentioned Twitch, I figured I might as well go ahead and entertain you with some of the stories of the things I've seen, things I've played, and ideas I have for the future of the Twitch channel and my gaming life. Why not, right? Maybe you'll get inspired by something that you hear here. So, without any further ado, the first topic is PAL World. Some of you may have listened to the last podcast where I mentioned PAL World, which is a hotly debated and hotly anticipated new game, currently in early access on Steam and on Xbox and PC Game Pass. It blends a third-person action adventure exploration with Pokemon with guns. And some of the news coming out of the gaming community about PAL World was a little disheartening at first. There were rumors that the PALs, as they're called, the little creatures that you collect and use to battle other creatures, work, and whatnot in your world, there was rumor that those were essentially just Pokemon designs that were run through an AI filter and then they animated them. There was some actual accusations of out-and-out theft, like not just some weird AI amalgamation, but an actual, like, actual theft of intellectual property. There are some really peculiar implications regarding slavery in the game. Like, you can enslave other, I mean, obviously you're enslaving these creatures to do your bidding, whether it's fight for you or build stuff for you or protect your base. But also you can enslave humans. And I don't know that the game actually goes that far, because I started playing it just because I said, I'm really interested to see what the fuss is about. And the more I played it, the less worried I was about the internet rumor mill, and the more worried I was about how I was going to enjoy the game. And it's an interesting concept. It's not nearly as provocative as all the media hype suggests. The exploration thing was really great. I liked being able to move freely around the world to a large degree. If you could reach it, you could, climb it, walk over onto it, jump off of it. It has a lot of the Breath of the Wild comparison. Was very, very fair and accurate. Being able to scale surfaces as long as you had enough stamina made for some pretty interesting exploration options. it's little secrets hidden around the world. Pretty easy to jump right in and just start enjoying some of the world and the gameplay and whatnot. I will say that crafting and base building is never really my jam in games like this. Like, I'm not really one for the... It's more of a survival game in the vein of Ark, if anyone's familiar with it. There's several other games out there that are similar, where you're dropped on an island with no resources, no equipment, and you have to kind of build everything from scratch. It's not a new genre, but it's definitely one that is I've never really been particularly interested in. And so that it was with a little bit of surprise that when I picked up Pal World, I found it to be actually quite engaging in some ways. It's pretty easy to pick up and get into, but the user interface needs some serious work. Granted, I do understand that the game is currently in early access. However, the fact that they're actively charging people to buy the game, even though it's still technically in early access and isn't fully finished, it seems like at the very least you need to get your user interface trimmed and working more fluidly. To me, the menus felt really cluttered. Sometimes the controls in menus were really fidgety. And even in the game, they're either kind of fidgety and janky or a little sluggish and slow. And then some of the core, not really gameplay mechanics, but just some of the minor tasks that you're going to do were so dull and dry that it became tedious. Like one of the examples is if you're trying to create something, right? You're trying to craft something. I want this many of these items, right? Okay, well, you can build X item at Y speed. All right, I want 10 of those items. Okay, hold X to build. And now you're stuck in a mini game where you just have to see how strong your thumb is as you hold down a certain button for, could be 10 seconds, could be 20 seconds, could be longer depending on how much of the material you have and how many of the items you intend to create. Not a smart mechanic and a great way to wear out one button on your controller or your keyboard if you're playing on keyboard and mouse. But it's a dry mechanic. And then on top of that, after you've held the button down for 2.5 minutes, you don't actively have the item put into your inventory. You have to select X to acquire the item. Super dumb. And you can pick up random pieces of equipment or whatever, items and various sundries laying around the ground, by just kind of skating over them in some instances, and they just get absorbed into your inventory as long as you have space, and as long as it's not a weight determinant object. But the thing you're actively trying to build, it makes you have to stop and then pick it up. I know it doesn't seem like a big thing, but in the economy of time built into a game, those little actions kind of add up, and they add to an already tedious process. See, and that's one of the reasons why, like, the base building and the crafting aspect really took me out of my zone here. Because that base building is always somewhat convoluted to a degree, but it's already dry in the first place. When it's already dry in the first place, and then you add that tedium, hold this button down, assign these animals to do this task, micromanage this, watch over that, protect this. For me, I need to see something that's a more robust reward for the time and effort that I've done. For example, if I have to hold down this X button, you know, for 2 minutes, right? Maybe I get good enough at crafting these things after a while that I learn how to manage the materials more efficiently. And every now and again, I have like a point, you know, maybe a point in 10, like a 10% chance or a 5% chance of crafting an additional item per turn, right? Something like that, where you feel like there's a little bit of a reward for the tedium that you're going to make me go through. I don't think that would hurt players' feelings. It's probably something you could build into the game pretty easily. Or if you're not going to do that, at least streamline the crafting requirements and the time it takes to do stuff. You know, instead of having to have somebody hold X to craft these items, press X. How many do you want? I want 10. All right, push this button. Done. Made it. Get out of here. You don't have to press X to acquire things, you know? It's, to me, a lot of times, a game can have a really great concept, but the execution and the minutia of how you interact with the game world can really dull the experience for me. All that said, it sounds like I'm really bagging on Pal World, and I'm not. I mean, look, the game's still in early access. There's plenty of time for the folks over there to make changes, to update the UI, to streamline things. Like I said, maybe add little perks and whatnot that are being chatted about in the communities. I don't know if there's a Discord for it, but I'm sure that there is. I would probably pop over there and say, like, hey, these are some ideas that I have that I think you guys could try. I don't mind giving feedback, especially when I see people trying to do something creative and fun. And it does seem like that's what this is. It's not a bad game. It's just some things that I find to be, I guess tedious is really the best word. And because the tedium becomes aggravating after a while, where I would play, and then the longer I played, the less I felt like I was having fun, and the more I felt like I was doing work. And at that point, I'm like, well, if I'm going to do this all day and it's going to feel like a job, I could at least go fucking wash the dishes or do my laundry, you know, clean a toilet. I could actually do actual work instead of like work masked in under the guise of quote unquote fun. So hopefully if we get a chance to chat with the developers and like, or maybe send them a message through the forums, which I'll be looking into. And I'd say like, hey, this could be really good, but you got to tighten this shit up, man. Not a bad thing though. And here's the other good thing. It's free with Xbox and PC Game Pass. So there's no need to fully commit to it right away. You know, if you're interested in Pal World, I'd say give it a shot, especially if you can get it for free 99. Why not? Right. It didn't hurt me none to download it. And then if I decide I really don't want to play it anymore, I can just delete it. It didn't cost me nothing. I think though, if you want the multiplayer monster battle kind of stuff, there's other games that are out there that'll scratch that itch. Maybe you won't get the full exploration and crafting experience that, you know, some of these games offer. But there are games out there that can scratch that itch as well. Monster Hunter's been around forever. I own Monster Hunter. I've actually been wanting to play more of it now that I've played Pal World. It feels like I could go back and do that better and enjoy it more. There's also Dauntless, which is another free-to-play game that has a similar concept to Monster Hunter. Temtem is a Pokemon-esque kind of clone. It's available on Xbox as well. And it also allows multiplayer cooperative action with up to four other people. And you can tackle various types of dungeons. You get randomized skill dungeons. You're battling with other, you know, with your players to beat other bosses and whatnot in the world. That looks like it's pretty cool. And it's cheap. And then if you don't want to do all that, Pokemon Arceus still exists and is very fun. I love it. I definitely need to go back and play more of it, but I loved it. And it's adorable. So, yeah. Pal World, not bad. Just still needs some work. Give it a shot if you like. I think you'll enjoy it if you're into those kinds of games anyway. And I saw some interesting stuff out there too. Like, you guys know that I'm looking to build more RPGs into my stream. And I saw One Piece Odyssey. And if people aren't familiar with One Piece, it's an anime series and a manga series. Been around for time immemorial and currently is over 1,000 episodes long. I believe they just wrapped up the entire series over the last year. And they're like, it's finally told, we're done, we're out. There's a game out there called One Piece Odyssey that's a traditional style JRPG, turn-based combat. And I love RPGs, I love anime, but for some reason One Piece just never moved me. I think it was mainly the I don't know the right word. I want to say squidgy animation when I first started watching it. And then the super over the top voice acting was just like, wow, even for anime, it felt like a lot. But I figured I'd give this a peek. And, you know, I haven't played it yet, so I'm just kind of going off initial impressions. I mean, the character and enemy designs look great. They look very much like the anime and the manga. And the environments look a little bit plain. Think Blue Dragon or one of the older Dragon Quest 3D games where you're kind of dropped into an arena. There's a little ring of environment like painted around the outside edge, and that's it. It's not bad, but it just looks a little stark. Apparently, this game, though, takes place about 3/4 of the way through the anime, so this would be a hard pass for me personally, because I really hate spoilers, but I also hate having to look backwards over source material to understand what I'm reading right now or interacting with right in the present. So if you're a huge fan of One Piece and you've watched most of the series and you've maybe finished it and you love it, this might be a good one. It's a turn-based JRPG, meets your favorite fan-favorite anime. So it might be good if you want some simple fun, but also keep in mind from what I've been hearing on various sites, it can be very simple and very minimally, minimal on challenge, kind of like easy mode RPG. But who knows? That could be your jam. It could be fun. And then I looked at Star Wars Outlaws, which isn't currently out yet. And there's a little intro trailer, a little bit of gameplay that was up on the Xbox store. It looks promising. It's coming along. I don't know if they're running the Frostbite engine still, but it sure looks like it. The graphics look great. The character a little dead-eyed, I think, when it wasn't in cutscenes, which is an interesting choice for a world that's as alive as the universe of Star Wars. To have this character with the basically a humanoid mask on is what it looked like. It was a little unsettling. But interesting abilities for combat, interesting traversal modes. I mean, being able to use a grappling hook to drop down to your waiting speeder bike, then having speeder bike combat, and then jumping off of that seamlessly into your ship to take off from the planet and fly around into the galaxies unknown, and then have space combat in a Star Wars game. It looks really great. As a huge Star Wars fan myself, I'm always kind of interested in what new Star Wars games are going to come out. And while, you know, people love the Jedi Force thing, and I do too, it is also interesting to see a character without Force abilities kind of navigate the Star Wars universe. At least for me, I have found that sometimes those stories are a little bit more compelling because they don't literally have a built-in crutch to enable them to wrench their way through the galaxy. To that point, I mean, if anybody ever wants to create a total bad guy experience, that would be awesome. I would be down to play a bad guy character in the Star Wars universe, like told from the bad guy's perspective. That would be pretty cool. You don't see that very often, and I think it'd be dope. Anyway, Star Wars Outlaws looks great. The release date, sometime 2024. You can keep eyes out for that. Baldur's Gate 3, I'm still playing it. Gotta play more. Seems like I never have enough time, but I'm going to try to make some more time through this week. I'm definitely going to be playing it tomorrow. Well, when this podcast comes out, it'll be today when you hear it. So I'll be playing some more of that Wednesday. And that should be really fun stuff. Loving the story and loving the combat and all the interactions with the characters. I do have to say, though, as much as I love it, sometimes the moving around the world feels sticky. Like, I've had this happen more than a couple times where my character will get stuck, locked onto a person in particular. Usually it's an NPC. It's very rarely an object. But when I'm trying to explore the world, he'll freeze. And I can control the camera, but I can't move the character. The only way to get out of it is to either wait for the game to catch up or to click the right thumbstick or left thumbstick down and go into what's like a focused movement mode where you can move a cursor to a spot, hit the location and go there. But it's a silly little thing, but it's kind of a dumb thing to have happen. You know what I mean? I just think it's probably because there's so many interactive objects in the world of the game that occasionally the game gets stuck on stupid looking at something if you stand still long enough. Although I do have to say, this is definitely a thing that needs to be fixed. Dice rolls are fucking brutal. I'm genuinely starting to think that D&D and dice in general hate me. I don't know what I've done to dice to deserve this, but fuck, they need to knock it off. I've rolled for a skill check the other day. And granted, I know if a high skill check's coming, the probability of the dice going your way is one thing or another. But when it's a medium probability and you're rolling the lowest numbers on the die consistently, I think I burned through a couple of my thieves' tools trying to pick a lock, and then I ran through several inspiration points as rerolls. And just to get a favorable result. Otherwise, I was going to have to scum the entire save and then go right back to where I was like 20 minutes ago and then try again and try again and try again. It gets a little frustrating. I think Larry needs to fix the dice so they're not so heavily weighted against the player in certain scenarios. And here's the other thing. There was one setting that was built into it that apparently would weigh heavily more so into like letting streaks of bad rolls continue. It's called karmic dice. I actually turned those karmic dice off. It was still screwing up my gameplay. I don't know what that's about, but it might be something to do with the fact that every time I seem to start the game up after I play a multiplayer session, I have to reread and reaccept the in-user licensing agreement all over again. Might have to go look at my game save and see if it's corrupted or not. That would suck. I have to start this game all over again. I might quit. Who knows? Anyway, I think that'll do it for gaming stuff today. Let's get on to some other news. I was fortunate enough to go attend a Renaissance fair this past weekend. The fair is called Hogtown and Downtown. Great little stop. And because it'd been so long since I'd been, I'm like, I want to try to absorb as much of this experience as possible. One thing I do hate about myself is that I don't really take photographs. And I probably need to get out of that habit. Start taking more photographs just for the memories and whatnot. Could be a good habit to get into. But yeah, I had heard about Hogtown for years since I moved to this area, and I just never had the ability to go. I probably mentioned a little bit of this in the last podcast, but since I've been really excited, and you know, there's some cool stuff that I saw there. One, as with most Ren fairs, there's lots of great merchants, craftsmen, artisans, musicians, the whole nine. You would see it. There were people who were making leather goods, like tooled leather goods, which were amazing. I couldn't remember all the names because there's so much. I was almost a little dizzy when I went there. But one, I mean, the old standbys were there. People making like leather-bound journals, potion holders, epaulets and pauldrons made out of leather. And also one had armor, like actual metal armor built into it. It was very impressive. So much so that I halfway considered, actually, as much as it would have killed my wallet, pulling out a credit card and picking up one of them because it was really well done. It looked great. And they also had like an actual blacksmith out there with a gas-fired forge, of course, because you couldn't build a gigantic forge in the middle of this area that where the festival was being held. But yeah, you know, there were people selling dice, people selling little games that they had created and made. Obviously, there's, you know, all kinds of, you know, fantasy related items, you know, where like, oh, somebody was making homemade masks. They brought like a bunch of different types of blank masks and they were painting them for people. There was people with fairy wings. There was a photo booth where you could take a picture with the mermaid. It was like the sights were amazing. There were some staged shows in the main arena. One of them was, you know, very live action role playing style, you know, sword and sorcery kind of thing where they're using metal swords and whatnot. It was pretty cool to watch. There was lots of great stuff to see around there. When there's the main stage area, there's a large pavilion that was set up with bleachers. Really cool stuff. There were, you know, combat things, but they did, one of the fun things they did was they played chess on the battlefield with living pieces. So each of the players on, well, each of the actors on the field were taking positions as though they were on a chessboard. And then the persons who were playing chess would call out to them to make a move. And if they captured the other player's pawn or rook or knight or whatever, they would have a little mock battle. Then, of course, the piece that lost would go down, and then reset the board and continue the game. Pretty cool idea. I mean, I'm sure it's been done before, but it was awesome for me to see it. And there are other sideshows built around that arena. So you had plenty of different options if that wasn't really your jam. There were other things to see and do, from fortune tellers to jugglers to puppeteers. It was a great time. Food, as always, is a banger at these kinds of things. And I went for the classic roasted turkey leg. Super good. Honestly, for me, probably could have stayed on the fire a little bit longer. But I think they were rushing so much to get these things cooked that it didn't really get enough love on the grill like I would have done it. But hey, can't have everything, right? It was good while it was there. And I think they did a pretty damn good job considering that this was a new location for the festival. And to that point, and with that in mind, I want you to understand that the cons that I have for this particular event are mostly predicated on the notion that this was kind of a surprise move for Hogtown. They didn't intend on being where they were, but the place that they originally and historically have had this event was sold for a development deal, so they weren't able to utilize it. The cons of this particular event were the parking. While it was free, it was kind of disorganized and scattered, and also it was located on one side of the park, which I know it seems kind of nitpicky, but you know, you would hope for something with a little bit more variety in places where you could park, so not everybody's cloistered in one area, because then it creates a logjam as people start to leave. So it was just that was a minor thing. You know, they couldn't really control that. They weren't going to build another parking lot on the north end of the park, but it was just a thing that I noticed. One of the things that was kind of annoying for some other people that I saw was that there was not really great accessibility options. This is, again, not the fault of Hogtown. It was more the fault of the location. It rained in this particular park, so the ground got really muddy. And then to that point, there were also like very narrow footpaths considering the volume of people that were going to be there. Folks that I saw that were in wheelchairs or had walkers or canes were kind of at the mercy of the crowd, which, to be fair, happens pretty much anywhere. But because of the location, the park was, one, muddy, so there were lots of muddy spots where people could easily slip or fall or slide if they're in a wheelchair or something like that. And also it was hilly, so without the access to footpaths and some of the vendors being parched into the grassy / muddy areas, it could get a little tricky for folks who may have some accessibility challenges. So I did notice that, and again, not really the fault of Hogtown. These are just things that I noticed. But the one thing I do think that could have been done better for real was the layout of the entire thing. Toilets were pretty much centralized in one location. Vendors were spread around pretty evenly, but especially when it came to food and beverage, they turned it into a mall, or like a wing of a mall. They had like a food court on one end, the beverage, you know, food, like the beverage sections, or like the beer tents and all that stuff, were way on the other side. And then the lines were insane. When we went to go get turkey legs, I went with a friend of mine. We stood in line for about 45 minutes just to grab two turkey legs. And then at that, each of those turkey legs was $15 a piece, which is astronomically high, and it wasn't posted anywhere. And I'm 100% positive that if we hadn't waited as long as we did and the signage had been posted telling you how much it was, we would have left. We'd just been like, you know what? Fuck this. We're going to go and eat at a, you know, Denny's or something in town. I'm not paying that much money. That would have fed $30. I could have taken him and I out for a really damn decent sit down meal at a burger joint or something like that, or like a, you know, maybe even a steakhouse, and got ourselves a couple of 8-ounce porterhouses and just sat and chill, or 8-ounce sirloins and sat and chilled, probably plus drinks. It just was weird to pay that much for two people to get two turkey legs, and like each one of us could have just taken $30 out of our own pockets individually and been like, let's have a real meal. I know. Like I said, I am nitpicking a little bit, because not all of this is the fault of Hogtown as a festival, but that's one thing you could absolutely fix. You could fix the lines. You don't have to jack the prices up this much. We're here. We wanted it. We will definitely pay for the stuff. But $15 for a turkey leg is ridiculous. Some of the leather goods, I can see why they're expensive, because they are handmade and it's leather and they have to cart it out with them and they have to store it and make sure it's, you know, preserved and maintained. But one of the leather jackets I was looking at was almost $500. And I'm like, this is nice. It's not $500 nice. I would definitely pay, like, I could see me paying $250 for it, maybe $300 at the most. But for $500, this thing better come with, you know, some superpowers and a $100 bill. It was a lot. But, you know, I guess that's kind of the nature of these events anyway. Just know that that's those little things are just mostly just kind of small concerns, mostly not the fault of Hogtown. Those last two things were the vendors, of course. They're like, they were setting those prices. It wasn't Hogtown saying they had to do it. But yeah, just some things to be aware of if you're ever able to go. The final verdict is, it's definitely a fun time. If I had to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, I would probably say it's a 7 out of 10. Most of the cons, like I said, just really seem to be the fault of being in an unexpected and new location and just kind of having to slap it together real quick, kind of last minute. I don't think that there was anybody really necessarily at fault as far as the management was concerned. I think they just kind of got snuck. What I will say is that you should save up. If you intend to go, as I mentioned earlier, it can be very expensive. That was all the money I spent that day in the entire park. I was looking for a mead tent or something like that, or maybe a cider or, you know, something. But then as soon as I saw the turkey leg price, I'm like, there's no way I'm paying $10 for a cup of cider. I was like, I will drink my own sweat before I pay that much money for a cider here. I can leave. I don't have to do this. So yeah, save your nickels and dimes if you want to go next year. It's very expensive. But I think that one way to alleviate the costs that the customers incur and that the vendors feel like they have to charge would probably be to find like a decent flat land location when it's not so hilly, not so grassy and muddy. Maybe set up some stone paths or some wooden drawbridge kind of paths or something, you know, lay down some planks, 2x4s. You know, rough hew some logs and kind of split them together so that you have panels and make you a little pathways. I'm sure you could get away with that. Yeah, and build some kind of infrastructure somewhere where you can have this thing be a seasonal event. You know, like you could run it kind of like alongside a calendar of some sort, you know, and be like, oh, you know, this is the summer solstice festival for Hogtown. And yeah, you can charge an admission like they used to do. And now you've got an infrastructure there. It can be worked on, maintained. People will go because you're like, hey, they're only doing this for, you know, every weekend this month, right? Do it 4 weekends a month, every 3 months, boom, money. And you can cut down on the overall cost that it takes if you run it seasonally. Then again, these are just ideas. I don't run the thing. I'm just kind of think it out loud right here. But hopefully I'll get a chance to go back next year that they've found like a more secure and, you know, I don't know the right word for it here because it wasn't like it was a crazy thing, but just like a more steady location, something that's a little bit more manageable. I think it'd be amazing. So yeah, if you're ever around in the area, Gainesville, Florida, go check out Hogtown. And yeah, hopefully you guys will enjoy it. And last but not least, we're going to jump into the gridiron gripes. This is going to be the last one pretty much for a while. Good game, everybody. Way to go. Way to have the weirdest football season of all. The 49ers of San Francisco and the Chiefs of Kansas City are going to be playing in the Super Bowl on February 11th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I think the biggest thing outside of the fact that the season was weird and the Ravens felt like they got robbed. I didn't get to see that game, but I'll take you at your word for it. I think the biggest thing is all the hustle and bustle surrounding Taylor Swift being excited and being at the games. There's no real controversy here. There's no reason for it. She's just happy for her boyfriend, having a good time, enjoying the game. And I get a lot of guys, you know, and some women too, are like, you know, we don't need women in the sport. We don't need this, that, and the other. And I agree with that, maybe to a certain degree on the field. And I'll tell you why. Because football is one of those times when the guys can get around, bond with one another, and kind of step out and just enjoy being guys. I'm not saying be crass or rude or anything like that, but just not have the, you know, the dynamics of the relationship on them, or the having to worry about how they handle themselves around women. And then, yeah, like I said, you don't have to be gross or crass or misogynistic, but just like a little bit of a breather. That kind of space is good for any relationship, just to have a little bit of away time. And so I get where that might be coming from. I think if Taylor Swift was suddenly going to be officiating games, it would be an annoyance, but she's just chilling. It's not her fault that she's fucking super famous and everybody who knows that she's at the game turns a camera to look at her. So what? She's just trying to enjoy the game and have a good time. I think the thing that really bugs me too is that people are saying that people who hate on Taylor Swift are sending a scary message. You don't care enough about your daughters to want them to be happy. Okay, we're painting with a really broad brush there, and I really think that you're missing most of the canvas. I don't think that that's what they're saying at all. I think what they're thinking is that there's so much media highlight on Taylor that it feels like it detracts from the game, which is also incorrect and stupid. But let's try to stay on target here when we come with our criticisms, okay? Otherwise, it just makes the whole thing fall flat and it cheapens the process overall. And it's not like Taylor Swift needs us to come to her defense, nor does Jason Kelce. They're going to be just fine. I think we just need to sit back, shut the fuck up, and enjoy it. If you don't like seeing Taylor Swift on the screen, go get a beer. Go get a snack. Work the grill. This way you listen to the game on the fucking radio. Play with your phone. Anytime it cut to her, just do something else. How sad is your life when that's the thing that, I can't even enjoy the game because all I gotta see is Taylor Swift every 3 minutes. God damn it. Yeah, read a book. You know what? Don't watch football. Go read some books. You need to take some night courses or something. You know, garner an education. Your little Cro-Magnon brain can't handle the fact that famous lady on TV. Yeah, maybe football's not for you. Try art. Take a classical literature course. Something to elevate the brain. Here's the thing. Personally, I don't care. I don't hate Taylor Swift. I don't mind Taylor Swift. But I don't have any real skin in this game. It's all for the optics. It just generates more highlights and more eyeballs watching the Super Bowl. It's money for the NFL. And it's going to be advertising for her on the NFL, anywhere the NFL is playing their games, on streaming services, or on network TV, whatever. It's just dollars, and it makes sense. So I don't really care. I know it's just for the optics and to drive numbers and whatnot up. So what? Let them have it. You know what I mean? It's nice to see Taylor happy instead of writing songs about all the breakups she's had. Give the chick a rest. You know what I mean? And then watch the game. If you're that fucking concerned about it, put it on mute. You won't have to hear anything they're talking about. Put it on mute. Play some, you know, AC/DC or whatever over top of the game and just call it a day. It's fine. What are you going to, are you missing the riveting commentary? They're going to say the same shit they've been saying for the last 50 fucking years. Don't worry about it. Just chill the fuck out. I'll tell you the only thing I have to say about all of this. I sincerely hope that the red team wins. And with that, that is the end of this Wandering One podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, bookmark the Streamlabs page at streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. New designs are on the way. You don't want to miss them. So if you don't see anything in there that you like, just wait longer. I'll be back with more stuff soon. Check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. More game stuff, more RPGs. Subscriber giveaway will be happening today, hopefully as you hear this, this will go live at 12:01 a.m. on the 31st of January. So good luck to everyone out there. Hope we're having a good day. When you hear this, feel free to stop by. If you're, like I said, good luck to everybody who's going to be watching the stream. May the odds be ever in your favor. Let's see what happens. Feel free to string on over to Patreon too, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Bring me more questions. Bring me more advice seekers. Tell me your stories. Leave some comments. I would love to read them. I can't wait. Super excited to have enough stuff to put together another episode this weekend. So go. Stop over there. Follow for free. Subscribe if you want. Use your 7-day free trial. What do you got to lose? Check it out. Help me out. Those episodes are driven exclusively by the community, so I would love your help over there. Thank you again for listening. It's been a wonder and a joy, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Keep sharing the podcast. Rate, subscribe, share, all that jazz. You know how it goes. And I will catch up with you guys. Well, let's see. I know we're going to be back on Wednesday. Maybe I'll have an episode for the Patreon come this weekend. We'll see. That's kind of up to you guys. All right. I've been Link Flores. You've been amazing. Thank you so much, and I will see you a little further on down the road. Bye, everyone.